Grace taught our wandering feet to tread the heavenly road, and new supplies each hour we meet while traveling home to God. The subject that I have before me is grace to the household. Some of you young people may think that we are speaking more to the parents, but remember, the Lord leaves us here very long. You may be in that position too. You know, as I've gone through life, I've noticed that it seems like we wait till we are in a situation and then we start looking to the Lord how to deal with it, instead of a little forethought, a little preparation along the way. And so what we say may be directed principally to households, fathers and mothers, children, young people who are parts of households. I trust it'll be profitable for all. This is a subject that I confess is very dear to my heart. And I have found the subject of the household, as God has revealed it in the Scriptures, is a wonderful promise, a principle to lay hold of and to count upon as you go through the vicissitudes of life. That's a big word, but it is that way. There are a lot of winds and waves and diversities of conflict as we go through Christian living. It's interesting that the Lord first mentions the household in the case of Noah. Come thou and thy house into the ark. Why did God say that? Because the world had become full of violence and corruption. This is when the household principle takes on special significance to us. And God has given us the household as a domain, a sphere of protection and blessing, when the environment in general has deteriorated from God's mind. And so this takes on particular significance to us today, because we're seeing that moral degeneration and the increase of violence and corruption around us. And this violence and corruption, which has always existed, is made much more available to us via media. Got it right here in my pocket. And it's available in our homes, or it can be. And so it's necessary to face this issue of our homes, our households, and how we're going to shelter and protect them. And on what principle are we going to bring blessing to them and seek to convey it to them? There's not a parent here that doesn't want to bless, be a source of blessing to their household. We all want that. Those of you who are young people and children, yes, you want it too. You want blessing. The problem is sometimes we want it in different ways than God intends. Those of us who are parents are learning too, young people. We make mistakes. I'm not going to stand up here on the basis of having been a good householder or a good father. But I am going to share with you some of the principles that have encouraged me, some principles for my faith to lay hold of from the Word of God to carry me through. Noah that we mentioned. Come thou and thy house into the ark. That was spoken after Noah had preached 120 years, probably, done a lot of preparatory work. There's a verse in Acts chapter 11 where Peter says, the Spirit bade me go tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. Chapter 11, verses 12-14. Isn't that wonderful? Words whereby thou and all thy house may be saved. No one desires to bless us and our households more than our God. Mothers and fathers, be careful to whom you entrust your children and where they go. But don't draw a circle around them so tight that you will not trust anyone else. Think about Moses' parents. We're going to get into that story, Lord willing, but just to mention it, Amram and Jochebed. It's interesting to me that I believe Moses' parents, or possibly Moses, their son, their third child, was the fulfillment of a prophecy given to Abraham that after, I believe it says, 400 years, and in the fourth generation, God would take them up out of the land of Egypt into the land that he had promised Abraham. The reason I mention this is because four generations is not a long time. Not a lot of successions of passing the blessing on from one generation to another. Jochebed, the daughter of Levi, had to be a very old woman when she gave birth to Moses. And what Brother Jim was telling us earlier, that she probably did not live to see the blessing that Moses was going to be to the children of Israel. But she had faith. She lived by faith. And this is a key ingredient to this subject. By faith, Moses was hid. And so on. By faith, fathers and mothers, keep on. Now, the subject of grace. Turn to Genesis 6:8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Have you thought about that? How do you find grace in the eyes of the Lord? We understand what grace is. Grace is undeserved blessing. It comes to us freely and fully because of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is able to bring out of his storehouses of blessing unlimited grace or blessing because Jesus Christ has made propitiation, and God is satisfied with him, and God is disposed to bless without respect to the condition of the recipient. You cannot make blessing any more accessible and better than that. at least I haven't figured out a way. It's so wonderful. But it's so easy for us to forget this and get hung up on what you and I can do. And we do have responsibility to do. We do have much responsibility in connection with our households. And we cannot and dare not slough it off on someone else other than trusting in the Lord and what He has told us to do in His Word. Noah found grace. Have you, young people, children, ever tried to figure out how you could please Dad or Mom and make them happy with you? Yeah, I have. There's many ways you can do it. Usually I did it when there was something special I wanted. And I had to be sure I was in the good graces of my dad so he would say yes. And more likely than not, it might have been a thing that was I thought might be borderline and Dad might say no. Well, how do we do that with God? Is there something you and I can do to God to make His gracious to us? I can't speak for God. I don't know. Only way I know how to speak is by experience and how God has responded. I don't know whether you would call this second guessing or what, but it's God has blessed me. I see He's blessed you. He's blessed us all. He's blessed us far more than we realize. I really think the limiting factor here in grace and finding grace is it's not the thought that God is ungracious to some people or not gracious. It's just that, or simply stated, some people just don't get it. And I must confess, grace is a hard thing to concept to really get a hold of and count on. I'm finding that I'm learning more and more about it as life goes on. And I would encourage us to continue searching the scriptures and this subject in connection with our households. But I do want to turn you to one verse in Peter. 1 Peter 5:5. Perhaps this could be our answer to how to find grace in the eyes of the Lord. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Isn't that wonderful? You know, the scriptures speak about the Lord being a father to the fatherless, about hearing the prayer of such. God looks down and sees us in our need. There's nothing like taking your place right where you are in humility before Him and waiting there on His blessing. Satan will tell you, hurry up and get it. And get us out of that path of faith and trusting in the Lord. That it happened in the first sin. You shall be as gods. Doubting the goodness of God, the grace of God. Never take a step in your household that's not done in faith and obedience to the Word of God. Forgive me for thinking up here. These things are precious, and a brother spoke this morning about being afraid to hear your voice. Brethren, I associate with that. I'm afraid to say things that are beyond the Word of God. Let's go back now to Psalm 78. No, let's go first of all to Genesis. Genesis chapter 18. A well-known verse here about Abraham. In connection with the blessing that God would give us. Genesis chapter 18 and verse 17. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. This was concerning the judgment that was to fall on Sodom and Gomorrah. Again, we notice an environment here of immorality where there were households of faith, and Abraham's household was at least a household of faith. I don't know whether we could actually say Lot's household was of faith. The scripture tells us that that Lot had faith, but I'm not sure that his faith embarked his household to the same extent as Abraham did. And so Abraham, I believe, is a pattern for us to look to. And God said to Abraham, shall I hide from Abraham that which I do? We see in this God's desire to share his thoughts with his people. That's what God made us for in the beginning, was to be compatible to him, to relate to him. And here was a man, a household, that God wanted to share his thoughts, even if it was in connection with judgment. I believe we see in it that God used Abraham as a test to see how far he would intercede before he, and how many souls were still of faith in that city before he would need to destroy it. Started out with 50 and 40 and so on. And Abraham interceded down to 10. And he stopped interceding. I believe if Abraham had interceded to 5, the Lord would have saved the whole city for 5. But Abraham did not. So God got an answer from Abraham in that way. You know, communication with God is a two-way street. God is interested in our thoughts too. It was lovely to hear you young brothers opening up your hearts in prayer this morning and not waiting a long time to do it. Thank you. That was a wonderful meeting for me. It was a wonderful meeting for the one who you were praying to too. And God wants to hear our our prayers. He wants to bless our households. He wants to hear our concerns for our households. We had many prayers this morning earlier for households and for children that have been privileged in households. Now I want to say a little bit about this expression, for I know that He will command His children and His household after Him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord. I don't believe the meaning of that is that simply that Abraham was a good authoritarian. I don't believe it was just that he was a strong-minded man and ruled his house with a strong arm. Households have been carried out in that way, and they have ended in disaster sometimes. No, I don't see it that way. What I see in this is that Abraham was a person who really appreciated the blessing that God had given him and treated it with respect and reverence, guarded it, and saw that it didn't end in a dead-end street with him without his family being blessed too. That's what God wants. God doesn't desire just to bless one family, one part of a family, and then that part of the family receive the blessing, and never pass it on to anybody else. That isn't God's way. That's selfish. If it's worthy of God giving it to us, it's worthy that we give it to someone else. And especially our children. That's what I see in this. He was going to pass it on. Yes, he had failure too. And many of us who have sought to do this, we have failed too. But we see God's principle, that He wants to bless, and He wants the blessing to go on. And we're going to go on and notice some other verses concerning this. Turn to Psalm 78, verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your hearts, your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and so on. And then it speaks of the negative side. One of the particular things I want to call attention to here is the seventh verse. The reason for this. You know, we can be selfish in our households too and want our blessing to be passed on to our children for our own good and blessing, our namesake, or being a good father and so on. There's a higher motive for doing this than that. And we as Christians should lay hold of that. that they might set their hope in God. This is the reason. I was told that Mr. Darby prayed that his father would get saved. And he prayed for a long time that his father would get saved, and the Lord didn't answer his prayer. And so Mr. Darby got concerned why the Lord wasn't answering his prayer. And he discovered that he was praying that his father would get saved because he was his father. And then he changed his prayer. That his father would get saved for God's sake. And his father got saved. Isn't that wonderful? How the Lord teaches these things. I've had to learn those things too. We all have to learn these things. And it's written here to Israel. And so on. It's so easy to get so focused on the blessing as it revolves around yourself and to forget the source of it all. I don't deserve to have my children blessed because of my faithfulness. That's getting off the ground of grace. Blessing them because I've been faithful is a poor ground to stand on, in my case. And God has given me a better ground to stand on. And that is His desire to bless and His ability to do so. And sometimes I've had to learn that God would use somebody else to teach me that I don't have it all together and haven't done it all right. God does desire that these truths be carried on. And brethren, if I may, by the side, speak of some of the blessings that are ours, not just the household, but it enlarges to the assembly and being gathered to the Lord's name. And many of those truths that are precious to us, that have been passed on to us by our fathers and grandfathers, but each of us have to buy the truth for ourselves. Young people, just because you're in a Christian family doesn't mean that you aren't going to have to put some effort forth on your part. You got to pay a price for it to get it, to really get it. Easy come, easy go can be disastrous. Value it. Make it your own. And then it won't be just because dad or mom says so. You'll have a ground to say and act in your own faith before God. We see that Moses did that. His parents had faith. And it wasn't until he was 40 years old that he were recorded of his actions on his own. And he messed it up at the start. But he didn't stop. And it took another 40 years before he was ready. But he was a special servant and he had to go through a lot. Some of you parents that are having a hard time right now, don't look at it as chastisement from the Lord. Look at it as an opportunity that God is preparing you for something. Or your children for something. And if He needs to use someone else to do it, and He can even use the world, and He can even use Satan, but be assured, His hand is always over in control. And he only let Satan go so far with Job, and then that was all he could do. And even Satan didn't realize what was going on. But God got out of it what he wanted out of Job, and it was a good product. And it taught me a lesson. It was a blessing to me that I needed in my life. I probably wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for the book of Job. So, parents, if you're in a low in your family, keep that eye of faith on the Lord. Remember, He cares about those children more than you do. And if there is a little lesson along the way, don't come to the point where you have to see what you did wrong, for you have to be in the circumstances that you are. I was there once too. I've learned a better way to stand. I've learned that it's enough that my all-loving Savior God knows exactly what I need and how to administer it for both me and my family, and that gives me peace in my circumstances along the way. I'm not saying that boastfully, with trembling, because I don't know how God may test me tomorrow. But it's a wonderful thing to be able to trust Him about that too. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. Let's go on to John's Gospel, chapter 5. Just a brief example of our Savior in connection with God revealing what we need to know in our situations with our lives. John's Gospel, chapter 5, just two verses, 19 and 20. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of Himself but what He seeth the Father do. For what things soever He doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father revealeth the Son, and showeth Him all things that Himself doeth. And He will show Him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. We read about Abraham, how God would reveal to him what He was going to do. And now we see a perfect example of this in the Lord Jesus. But what I want to call attention to is why would God reveal everything to the Lord Jesus? It's because the Lord Jesus was that perfect, dependent man. And He never acted independent of God, His Father, as a man here on earth. That's not weakness, that's perfect submission. And that's what we as parents need to learn too. Perfect submission to our God and Father. And He will reveal all that we need to do. If He doesn't reveal, wait. Remember Saul, King Saul? Samuel told him to wait. And the days passed, and he got anxious, and he went ahead of God, and he acted. The Lord Jesus never did that. And the Lord and God. The verse 20 is the answer to verse 19. The Father loveth the Son and showeth Him all things that Himself doeth. That means there never came a situation in the life of the Lord Jesus where God didn't reveal to Him what He needed to know at the moment. Beautiful. What an example. One more verse in Matthew 23. This may seem strange when we read it, but Matthew 23, verse 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. The Lord was speaking here to scribes and Pharisees that were doing everything right outwardly according to the book, as it were. They were even making special attention to doing these little detail points to make it show how they were followers of the law. Dotting their I's and crossing their T's and everything else outwardly. And the Lord puts His finger on something here. The weightier matters of the law. And I want to call attention to this as to our households. It's not enough to train up our children to do the right things outwardly. We miss it if we do that. There are things of substance behind those things that we need to get down to. It isn't just enough that our children go on outwardly and attend the meetings and participate and do gospel works and things like this. Those ought to be the results. And in our discipline too. It's not enough just to correct the outward wrong things. Got to get to the root. Be sure that that is understood in how we deal with the situations. Otherwise, we can produce, like here, a group of people that would outwardly go on for a while. But what happens is, it won't last. You got to start on the inside and work out the weightier matters of the law. Judgment. That is, there's a time when children just have to obey because dad and mom say so. But all parents find out pretty soon that that won't work very long. Why, mommy? Why, daddy? And then it gets more sophisticated yet. And it's good. That's normal. That's growth. Judgment. I take judgment here not to mean just condemnation or punishment, but it's distinction of right and wrong. It's important that our families know clearly why or the right and wrong of certain things. You don't have to win all the battles to win the war. You don't, as a parent, have to come out on top In every discussion, don't argue with your children, ever. Sorry, that just slipped out. Now you know why I was talking slowly here. Kids are pretty smart, and they do pick up the real reasons of why, if we're careful about it. And they read us pretty well. Young people understand when parents or older brethren in the assembly are hypocritical. Boy, that gives them all kinds of armor to fire back things, doesn't it? And we did that when we were there too. Young people, your parents aren't perfect. There's a brother in our assembly, now with the Lord, whose children didn't go on well, many of them. Some did. And he told me, speaking to his children in the inn, of calling attention, "You know that I failed, but you know that the truth of God that comes from the Word of God is still true." He justified God. So it's a wonderful thing when we do fail as parents to not be hypocritical. You don't have to be a perfect parent to have the Lord bless your children. There is grace. And all of us got to where we are because of that grace. And so don't stop counting upon grace. And so here we have the weightier matters. I'm not going to go on these judgment, mercy, and faith. But they are very instructive to us. I see that our time is out. Perhaps we could we'll continue, Lord willing, tomorrow. We could sing a number 12. I wanted to finish on singing, brethren. Hymn number 12. Sing without ceasing, sing, not
Thank you.